We have had quite a thing going on in the book of Revelation. And there are so many questions that's asked me concerning this until it takes a long time to be able to answer them. For instance, we had gotten into some things concerning the middle of the week, times time and a half a time, 40 and 2 months. We had discussed these things as to the value, the spiritual value of them, 1,203 score days. This concerning the prophets. And then the question arose, who is the Antichrist? Where does he come from? How does he fit into this thing? And just so many multiplied things that it would take hours and days to answer. Many multiplied things. So I try to pick out one or two, and I try to comment on it as to what is right and what is not right. So I'm going to let you ask a question tonight. And I had a lot of things on my mind. I was burning with a zeal to come and talk with you about it. But I decided I'd just let you ask a question tonight. And every what you say, well, we'll think on it. And then if the Lord wants to lead us into some of the things that I had on my mind, that's good. Otherwise, we'll just kind of border on that. Now, that was one thing that I had on my mind to explain if I was called on to do it. I don't know that I can tonight. I do understand it. I've been given the understanding of it. And I don't know whether I can tonight or not. I just have to wait until the inspiration's right. But anyway, we will read a little about it and see if the anointing will talk. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. All I can do is what I see the Father do. And that's very true. Let's start off like this. Concerning the Antichrist, which has to do with the bottomless pit. Let's just look at it for a few minutes. It says in chapter 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto him? Or who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 600. 66. It says here that John saw a beast coming up out of the waters as he stood upon the sands of the sea. Now I've stood right there on the sands of the same sea that John was standing on. As a matter of fact, when we come back from the Holy Land, I believe some of them brought a bottle of sand that they'd gathered from that same sea. I stood right there. I've looked at it. I've looked at the sea. He said, I looked and I saw this beast coming up out of the sea. John was exiled to a little island called the Island of Patmos, a little rocky island off the coast of Asia. And John, being there, was at that same sea. You can check it out if you like. You'll find the little island of Patmos on your map. You'll have to look close. A little rocky island. He was there because of the testimony of the Lord. This was somewhere around 96 A.D. or that many years after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And during this period of time, God dealt with John. John must have been full of age, considering the fact that he was a disciple that walked with Christ. But here he was, exiled for the Word of God. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which could have meant on Sunday, as we say, or their day is Saturday, the Sabbath. To us, it means that he was in the Spirit. We say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the Bible speaks of entering into his rest. Said he sware in his wrath that they that wandered in the wilderness because of their murmuring against God through Moses, he sware in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest. Paul brings this out by saying, and the law worketh wrath. So then those that were under the law, subject to the wrath, he sware that they could not enter into his rest. And the Bible said that God created in 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. It's obvious that John was in the rest of the Lord, the day of the Lord. He had entered in. He was looking. He was beholding. Now, I just detailed a few of those things to give you a little background and a little foundation for your thoughts. Something to build on. It says that this beast came up out of the waters. He had 7 heads and 10 horns. A body like a leopard, feet like a bear, a mouth like a lion. All right, now, let's just look at the Bible here. I could say many things to you. Wouldn't be any problem. But I try to substantiate everything with Scripture to where you can explain it or understand it. We find that when the vials were poured out, there was an angel that talked with John. In Revelation 17, he shows John the great Hoa that sits upon many waters. There came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great Hoa that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. See, it's very obvious that this woman is sitting on the same beast that John saw come up out of the waters. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. All right, so then we got our answer right here as to what this is, as to the beast and to the woman. We have it because here the angel said, John, I will tell you what the mystery is. Let's look at it and see what the mystery is. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's why I chose this to lead up to what the question was, that is, as to the bottomless pit. So, it's obvious the woman is the great whore that sitteth upon the beast. The beast that we saw come up out of the waters, it said in all reality, it didn't come out of the waters. It come out of the bottomless pit and must have came through the waters, in that the sea has to do with the bottomless pit. When the great light of God comes, the Bible speaks of it after this fashion. When the great light comes, there is no more sea. There is no more ocean. That is to say, God does something with the bottomless pit. Just looking at it now through a typical thing. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean the bottomless pit, the ocean? It said that he came up out of the waters. John said, I was standing on the sand. Let's look at it now and see if this is right. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Somebody said it come up out of many waters. It said it come up out of the sea. And John was standing on the sand of the sea. That's why I'm using the terms And the Bible said there was no more sea or ocean. That is, there are seas and there is the great ocean. Let's just look at it for a minute and see if that's what it says. Revelation chapter 20, 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Remember, heaven and earth must pass away. My word shall not pass away. There it is. It passes away, the fulfillment of the scripture. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, there won't be no more crying, sorrow, tears, whatever. Now, we can say a lot about the tabernacle of God, in that God chose to dwell in his fullness in Jesus. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, a lot we could say there. But anyway, not getting into Revelation about that, but trying to stay with something here that you would understand. It said, and the sea gave up its dead. Now, here we are told that heaven fled away. The earth fled away. He goes on to tell us that there was no more sea. It had gone. With the earth departing, so went the sea. For heaven fled away, and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, so we're speaking of the sea. Speaking of the sea. Let's look at it again. Just taking my time. Chapter 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea. The beast come up out of the sea. Chapter 17. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. See, he was, he is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. This is what you have to watch. See, this is after the middle of the week, according to the scripture, when he says he is not. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. He's been on the earth. He's been in power. He's been here. He was. But he's not here now. So then you have to remember that the angel that is talking to John is speaking of that that is to come in a personification. Now, he was, he is not, but it said he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. How do you understand what I'm saying? John had just seen the vials poured out. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, now, this I don't understand. This is past the middle of the week. Here John has seen the vials poured out. This is way over there. The beast has done come up out of the sea. And how is it he says that he is not? Okay, now let's just stop and use a little reason, okay? Is John going to be out there when they pour out the vials? Come on now, folks. Let's use a little understanding. The Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. Is John over there when he pours out the vial? Somebody said, bless God, I know he is. I can see it. It's right there. It says so. Do you really believe that? It's true that John has went into the Spirit. John has seen into the future. John is in the Lord's day. John sees these things happen. But folks, John isn't going to be out there when the angel pours out them seven vials. John is way back over here when the beast is not seeing these things. Oh, come on, let's use a little understanding. If that's wrong, say, stand up and say, Brother Pike, you don't know what you're talking about. Because the Bible said you're not to add to this book, you're not to take away from it. He is only telling you that in this vision that he sees these things happening, and the angel that poured out of these vials comes back and tells him these things. So in the foreknowledge of God, it was poured out. But John was on the Isle of Patmos 96 AD. If the vials was poured out then, where are we now? If the Antichrist was then there, then what? See, you've got to understand that John was caught up into the Spirit. John was in heaven. John saw these things. But John is going to be there when these things take place. John was only in there in the vision. That is, they indoctrinated him with what was happening. When he saw the seals open and all of these other things, caught up into the Spirit, caught up into the Lord's day. Then, will John be there? No. Now, this is a little baffling. Will John be there when these things happen? Yes. Well, somebody says, you're crazy, Brother Pike. You say no, and then you say yes. No, to the extent that this was a vision. So John isn't going to take part in it. It's something that's to happen. God is to bring it in Daniel's last week. Yes. John will be there because John is part of the church and he's going to be in heaven. He's going to know about all these things taking place. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you've got to put John in his proper place. Now, is Brother Pike going to be there? Of course I'll be there. But will I really be there when these are poured out? Of course I won't. I'm not planning to be there in the tribulation when these things happen. But I'm planning to be there in heaven where the angels are and where all of these things are administered from. So you have to understand what I'm saying. So then this is why he uses the term 12 years past the middle of the week, that he is not. Because we know that he is there past the middle of the week. Because Daniel emphatically stated it would be for a time's time and half a time. So we know he's going to be there. As a matter of fact, this angel here, it tells us that the sixth plague has been poured out. And in verse 17 of the 16th chapter, and the seventh angel poured out his vials. That means that the pouring out of the vials, which is the final pouring out of God's wrath, the last of the wrath of God, it means it has been already poured out. Somebody said, and to think that that beast is not yet, because John says he is not. If he is not, then answer this. Revelation 16, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. If he is not, how did the fifth angel pour out his vial on him when the seventh angel... Or when the angel comes and says after the seventh angel sound that he is not. This is why that revelation is so confusing. God wrote it in such a way, or God let it come in such a way that a man would go stark raving mad trying to understand it. But you and I understand it perfectly. I mean, there's nothing confusing about it. That makes good sense. We understand that thoroughly. Okay, now. So we see what the Lord is saying. Why then do you liken, Brother Pike, why do you liken the sea to the bottomless pit? Because John said, I stood upon the sands of the sea. And I saw this beast come up out of the sand of the sea, Revelation 13, immediately after Revelation 12. When there was war in heaven, Lucifer had been cast out. He was looking for something to personify himself in. So up he comes. Now, I'm just going to drop in some things tonight for you to think on. You can do with them whatever you like. All right, now, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, let's just stop there for just a minute. The beast that was, that is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, I could go back and I could comment and I could say a lot of things. I could say, okay, folks, let's go all the way back to Babylon. Nimrod the hunter, the great hunter. Nimrod. I'd say, aha, there you are right there. That's your Antichrist. You say, how do you get there? Because I say, he was. Don't you remember? He was. He was in power. And he's not in power in 96 A.D. when John says now. The angel says now in 96 A.D. He's not in power. Just like he said, the beast is not right now. But he has been. Now, you say the beast has been? He's been here before. The beast. We'll learn a little more about him in just a little bit. But the beast has been here before. The Bible said he was. He was here before. We say, all right, there you are, Nimrod the hunter. I said, well, what are we going to do with Attalus? The great Attalus that bequeathed his rights over to the Julian way of life and went to Pergamos, set up his regime, and the Bible called that the seat of Satan. Aha, somebody said, that's it. That's where it is, the one that was there at the seat of Satan. And then we find a number of others that we won't make mention of because we don't have the time to detail it so much. We find another one, Judas. Judas Iscariot. Judas was. He's been here. But at the time that John was there, he was not. Now, we could say of Attalus, we could say of Nimrod, we could say of Judas. Where did they go to? Someone would say, well, they all went to the same place. Yes and no. It's true, they all went to the same place. That is, they were rejected of God and they went into his wrath, into his punishment. But it's like the saints of God. Those that are under the law could not be made perfect without us. Because the law worketh wrath. And where there's no law, there's no wrath. And the law had to be taken away before the wrath of God could be taken away. And then came forth the people to perfection in the day when we come on the scene. That is after Calvary. That's why Peter stood up and said, this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass in the last days. This is that the prophet before Calvary said would come to pass after Calvary. And it shall come to pass in the last days, Joel said, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in that day I will pour out of my spirit upon my handmaids, he said, and they'll prophesy. A lot to be said about the handmaids and the different things. Jesus said many things to be said. People are dull of hearing. So then, getting back to the theme of our thought, just running out on a limb once in a while to look at the fruits. Coming back to the theme of our thought, he was. So there's Judas. Judas was. It was said of Judas that he went to his place. He went to his place. The Bible said, let another his bishopric take. This was before he was ever born into the world, the predestination of God. Let another his bishopric take. And it is a true fact that though we don't like to acknowledge it sometimes, that Judas did obtain part of the ministry. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that he obtained part of that ministry. Well, tell me this. Did Jesus make the statement that I, talking about God now, talking about Jesus, the personification of the Heavenly Father, the tabernacle of God in the earth, did he make the statement or did he not make the statement that I have chosen 12? All right, did he choose him or did he not choose him? Did he choose him? If he chose him, didn't he obtain part of that ministry? How could he have not obtained it if Jesus chose him? But he also said, one of you is a devil. Isn't that right? But see, Judas had never come to the knowledge of wrong. He had never at that time give himself to Satan. He was a human being. He had opportunity just like all. Jesus gave unto them power. But it says, after Judas spent much of his life with Jesus, or some of his life, and after he became gullible for monetary values, when he mocked the little woman that came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried the feet with her hair, the one that came also to pour out the spikenard upon him, when Judas said this could have been saved, this could have been given to the poor, the Bible said he said that not because he cared for the poor, but rather he was concerned about how much money it could have brought, or the value of it as to monetary value, because he was the one that was carrying the money bag. And Jesus scolded him and said, don't say anything to this woman. The poor you have with you always. Me you have not always. See, and immediately Judas went out and betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He didn't like rebuke. A lot of folks don't like rebuke. You rebuke them, you reprove them. The Bible said you reprove a wise man, he'll grow wiser. You rebuke a fool and you'll get yourself a blot. He'll tell everybody, he'll come against you, he'll tear you down. He don't like what you said, you hurt his feelings. He'll fire back on you with both barrels, as we say. So then Judas was of that sort. And the Bible said, following this, then came the supper. When Jesus told him he was departing. And at the supper, he said, one of you are going to betray me. You that dip with me in the dish, you're going to betray me. And they wanted to know who. And they said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And they were all tore up. And Jesus said, to whom I give the sop, it is him. And he turned and he gave the sop as he dipped. He gave it to Judas. And the Bible said, Satan, just like that, entered into him. Now, this is why that I think about Judas. Judas was on this side of Calvary. Attalus and Nimrod and the others was on that side of Calvary. They knew a lot of things, but not what Judas knew. They were not born to be the son of perdition. And they did not receive the power that Judas became heir to by being chosen. Folks, you've got to think now. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God gives power to people like that. Let me read it to you. The 16th chapter of the book of Revelation, the 13th verse, and I saw three unclean spirits. How do you believe or know that spirits are fallen angels? If they're unclean. How many of you know that angels have power? Satan is an angel, a fallen angel, a great, mighty angel in power. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of fallen angels, or it says devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So, did Balaam have power? even to see the Lord with his eyes open? The Bible said in the man with his eyes open, falling into a trance. Did he have power? Sure he had power. Does the false prophet that we read about, it said, and another beast come up out of the earth. That's in Revelation 13. Is that the false prophet? It makes it very clear over here, a little farther, that this and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, Revelation 19, 20. The false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. See, I saw the beast, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. See, these devils had gathered these people together. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. See, that makes us know that he's the false prophet, even though it doesn't say anything over here in Revelation 13 about being a false prophet. It does say that he exercised all the power of the first beast. And it did say that he doeth great wonders. He maketh fire come down out of heaven in the sight of men, and that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So we know he is a prophet and a false prophet. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then they do have power. Judas? Did Judas have any power? Now, here's what I'm saying. This is why the Bible speaks of lying signs and wonders. Those things are miracles, but they're lying miracles. Lying signs and wonders. The world is vanity. Solomon said all is vanity. Those are the creatures of darkness, like a magician. Like those that withstood Moses. They would throw their rods down. They would do all kinds of things. They were spiritualists. They were magicians. They had power to do things by using this which is the creation of God, by taking it, by being the prince of the world. Those devils and demons have power to do many things. Even scientists, through science, that is knowledge, falsely so called, as Paul said, they have power to do great things with atomic particles, to bring atomic blast. Yeah, I know that some of you are going to lose interest and you're going to go because you just don't have enough to hold on, and you can't get into these things without taking a little time. That's why I'm always reluctant to get into them. We can hardly get into them before I lose you. But someday you're going to wish you had enough. I'll guarantee that you will. We say, praise God with the early church. All right, can you stay till the morning? Paul preached all night long. Can you stay till the daylight? Oh, somebody says, that's absurd, Brother Pye, to think that we've got to listen to your mouth till the morning. They listen to Paul's mouth. The Bible said, it's not you speak, but speaking but the Heavenly Father. All right. Judas, what was said of Judas? And Satan entered into him. Now, this is what I'd like to ask you. Is there any other place in the Bible, before Calvary or after Calvary or anywhere, where it says, and Satan entered into him? Do you know of a place? I'd like for you to tell me. And it says, after this, Judas went out and hanged himself. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That's how Jesus took the curse away from you and I. He hung upon a tree. And they hang him on a tree. So then Judas went out and hanged himself, and his bowels gushed out. He throwed the 30 pieces of silver down. He wanted to repent, but like Esau, though he sought repentance with bitter tears, he found no place of it. See, Judas throwed the silver down, said, I betrayed innocent blood. That was the Judas part. That was the man part.
But the devil didn't care about that. He'd already entered in. He'd already got that body. So then Judas is a man. When the powers of the devil lifted after Satan had done his wretched thing of crucifying the Son of God, Judas came back to his normal mind and what he had given up. And he was so terrified and he didn't know what to do. Jesus said it had been better if that man had never been born. He went out and hanged himself. He couldn't bear the thoughts. Now what does it say of Judas? It said that he went to his place. A place prepared before the foundation of the world. That place of godliness in the mansions, in the heavenly place, was prepared for you and prepared for me. But here it speaks of another place. A place where Judas went. And he went to his place. Like Paul said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, these believed. The rest did not. He said, your blood be upon your own head. Predestination. So then, Judas went to his place. What place was it? What was the place that he went to? Let's just say that if by chance, since Satan found him a place in Judas and went into Judas, that at last he'd received a personification, a man, a body. Him being a fallen angel. And a body that could never get back to God. Better than he'd never been born. No chance of losing that body. What if he did do that? It says, and the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit. For he was. He's been here before. Out of the bottomless pit. He ascended out of the bottomless pit. For he was. He is not right now. 96 A.D., John, he's not now. But he was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That is, John, you've seen it all happen back there in the vision already. You saw him ascend. You stood on the sands of the sea. You know what I'm telling you. I'm just going to tell you the mystery of it. But he said, that day that comes, John, past 96 A.D., past the church ages, back out there at the time of his coming, he will ascend, John. He'll come up out of the bottomless pit. You saw him come up out of the sea to show it here in the vision. One day, he's not here now, but he will ascend out of the bottomless pit. So then he was, he is not, but he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So then, what do we say? Satan had just been cast out of heaven into the earth. So then the question is this. Is Satan in the bottomless pit? Is Satan in the bottomless pit? No. No. Are you listening? Is Satan in the bottomless pit? How then, if he is, how then did John see him as the dragon in heaven? You say, well, maybe that dragon wasn't Satan. Okay, let's look and see. In Revelation 12, the 13th verse, and when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth. So we know it was the dragon that went out. Isn't that right? We know that it was the dragon. What does it say? In Revelation 12 and 9, and the great dragon was cast out. So we know it was the dragon. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So then, is Satan in the bottomless pit? Or when John saw the dragon, was that Satan in heaven? He said, I saw this wonder in heaven. Read it in Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. It said, I saw this in heaven. And then it goes on to say, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon. What was this great red dragon? Said, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, do you see why that I say what to do about the beast? And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. When? Right after war in heaven? Right after the great dragon was cast out? Then out of the sea comes the beast. Somebody said, well, is the beast a dragon? It said when it gave the number, it was the number of a man. We'll go on and look at the mystery if you've got a few minutes to stay. Great is the mystery of godliness. Then the Bible speaks of the mystery of iniquity. And I'm a steward of the mysteries. So then I'm just taking my time to tie these together to let you know what is right. Because if somebody comes to say something to you, they're going to cross you up with these scriptures. And you're going to say something and they're going to say, yes, but. And then what are you going to do? All right, so then here we are. Let's look at it again. I saw the beast come up out of the sea. Seven heads and ten horns. But Brother Pike, that's the beast. Now we're talking about casting Satan out of heaven. This is coming up in the earth, okay? And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, and we could say a lot about the persecution and whatever, but when he saw he was cast unto the earth, this is when he cast out of his mouth the waters as a flood after the woman. The dragon was wroth with the woman, wanting to make war with the remnant of her seed, which meant the birth had come, the man-child had gone up. This was what was left. You cut a dress out of a piece of cloth. Once you get the dress cut out, you got a remnant left. This was what was left after he took the man-child out. After he picked up the 144,000, read it, because I'm reading in Revelation 12. This is where he cut them out. He had sealed them over there in Revelation 7. Isn't that right? And they are picked up in Revelation 14, standing on the mountain. All right, so then there was a place prepared for the woman, times time and a half a time, in the wilderness. We could really go into this concerning Elijah. And one day's journey in the wilderness, the little cakes. But anyway, let's just look at it for a few minutes. Now, it is very obvious then that the dragon and Satan, the serpent, is the same as the beast. Isn't that right? Because he was in heaven, he had seven heads and ten horns. Now he's in the earth, he comes up out of the water as the beast, he still has seven heads and ten horns. All right, so that ties it together. Now he was to continue 42 months, times time and a half a time. Let's go back over now and look at it, and I will show you the mystery. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Is Satan then in the bottomless pit? No. No. He's in heaven when they're talking to John. Isn't that right? How did he get in heaven? Is heaven then his place? No, heaven is not his place. He is out of his place. Every man abiding in his calling. His is not a heavenly calling. But is he in heaven? He is in heaven. How did he get into heaven? The Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. What is the upper lintel? That's heaven. He's climbed up into the upper lintel, the serpent. How did Satan get into heaven? Heaven isn't his place. The serpent, it said, and that old devil, the serpent, was cast out. It said the serpent had climbed up into the upper lintel. Isn't that right? The upper lintel, even today, among the wealthy, among the rich, the powers of this world. Are you listening? If you are, let's don't be giggling and laughing. That's an evil spirit. If I've said something that's out of balance, you need to just say, hey, wait, let me correct you. If not, you don't need to do that. That gives place to a devil. That's the carnal mind that's empty with Christ. You need to be careful, folks, I'm telling you. This isn't going to set too good. But the laughing is coming from people that a young man said not so long ago that these same people
came to him in a vision and tried to bewitch him and get him to practice witchcraft. Come on, folks, it ain't as funny as you think, is it? Well, the pikes held them things back and ain't said nothing to you so as not to hurt you, so as to help you. But I tell you, when you do these things, when I tell you not to do them, then there's nothing for me to do except to tell you like it is. And that's what causes you to do those things. You better watch out. We're talking about Judas and the bottomless pit. The things of God are not funny. They're not to be giggled at. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. For thine adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Stand steadfast in the faith, resist him. All right. So then what are we talking about? The bottomless pit. And those that go there. It said, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Then is Satan's place heaven? No. But he got there. How did he get there? He climbed up into the upper lintel. But how did he climb up into the upper lintel? How did he do that? He did that by one way, one means. And that is when the blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary. It took away sin and the rain come on the just and the unjust. God took away sin from all humanity. Today the world continues on and people continue on. How can they continue on? Because God doesn't see their sin. The blood has covered their sins. And God is looking at the entire world through the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't see your wrong. He doesn't see your sin. But beloved friend, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, and he does look and see who you are and what you are and the way you think and the way you've done, the way you do, though you be ever so religious or whatever, or though you be in the world as a thief and a robber, when he sees it, he's going to burn with fiery indignation and devour his adversaries, because the blood will be taken away for them that have not walked upright and those that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord God. So then he is not in the bottomless pit at the time that these things transpire at the end of the church ages. He has, through the grace of God, got into a human being, can go before the throne of God like he did in the days of Job, when it speaks of Job, and he can live in the body of a human being as it was when he entered into Judas. Satan, the demons, the devils, see, it said, and they were cast out, he and his angels with him. Where was this that he was cast out? At Calvary. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But the thing is, though he said the dragon curled his tail around the third part of the stars, the fallen angels, even though this happens, yet though it happens at Calvary, yet it is not made manifest till the end of the church ages when we come to the knowledge and understanding of it. It happened in the spirit, but it is not acknowledged as in the flesh. And in the flesh, in the world, at the time of Calvary, Peter said the end of the world had come. Because he had conferred with Paul, they had seen the revelation, they'd known what had happened. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, so then, if I receive my healing, it is when I'm born into the world and when I come to the knowledge of this and when I utilize faith. Though I was healed before the world ever was. And the Bible said I was saved by predestination before the world ever was. This was given to me in Christ. Brought to light at Calvary and comprehended in the end time as to the benefit. You understand what I'm saying? So then, great is the mystery of godliness. So then, Satan had climbed up into the upper lintel by means of grace. Living in the human body, he can come right into the church. False brothers and sisters spying out our liberty. They come into the presence of God by the blood. Second heaven, not third heaven. You and I have a power to go into the third heaven beyond the rent veil. Satan cannot do that. But he can be in the upper lintel, which is the second heaven, where John saw him in the second heaven, among the church. And you know what I teach about that. If you don't think it's heaven, wait and see. So then, this is why you need to beware.
Satan is in here tonight. Lucifer is in here tonight. As I talk with you, he's in here. To be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. And people that are in the flesh cannot please God because they are filled with Satan. Jesus said unto them, though they were ever so religious, he said, you're of your father the devil. He said, but I'm the son of God. Much we could say there. I just say these things. It can open up thoughts to you later. And God, the Bible said, and when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all truth and righteousness. And I say these things to give him leeway to where he can lead you and have a root in the Scripture as to a foundation to where you don't get lost. All right, let's look at it again. I'm going to try to close in a little while. You just have to bear with me a little bit because these go on tape and people listen at them. I can't afford to get them confused. You're here, can ask anytime. They can. Now, so he was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Back to the son of perdition now. See, was Satan? Is he now? But notice this now. He is in heaven, but that's not his place. Why was it that it said Judas went to his place? Now I'm telling you what I understand. Why did it say that Judas went to his place? Because according to what I understand, the bottomless pit is Satan's place. And Satan had entered into Judas. You say, well, you can't prove that, Brother Pike. Okay, let's look at the Bible. Back to the Bible. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Talking about the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand. And we don't have time to talk on that tonight. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So then where is Satan's place? It's the bottomless pit. Why was it then said that Judas went to his place? Because he gave place to Lucifer, and Lucifer personified himself in Judas. And so Judas found himself in his place. What place? The bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. See, it said, and he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. But here is Satan not ascending out of the bottomless pit. Satan is being cast out of heaven. Why? Because at this time he's gotten away from that, away from the bottomless pit. That is, when Jesus caused him to fall like lightning from heaven. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if he's in heaven, how could he be in the bottomless pit? See, Jesus said, though he was an angel in heaven, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. Isn't that right? I saw him fall from heaven. Now, when the angel comes with the chain, somebody would say, well, that's what Jesus saw. It says he was already in the earth, having been cast out already, and was to be put in the bottomless pit and bound. But Jesus said he was in heaven. Lucifer, the son of the morning. The Old Testament gives it. The prophet speaks of it. How art thou fallen, O son of the morning? So then I saw him fall from heaven as lightning. Where did he fall to? He fell into the bottomless pit. See, where did he fall? You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Well, the Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. He had to be out before he could climb up. Now, he one time was there and he had to fall before he could climb back up. He climbed back up. How did he do it? Through grace, through people, through knowledge, through science, step by step.
though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee out. And in our day we call it the Apollyon that went to the moon. In the book of Revelation it says, and Satan's name is Apollyon. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, through science, falsely so called, the old tree of knowledge, that's how he got in to start with. Though thou climbest into the upper lintel, though thou climbest up to heaven, I shall cast thee down to hell. And the Bible said, and the serpent climbed up into the upper lintel, into the high places, riding upon the high places of the earth, power, wealth over all of the earth, the prince of this world. Dominion. I'm going to hurry along. So then his place, then we say, Talus, could be. Nimrod, could be. They were. Judas, it says that Satan entered into him. He entered into him. What does he do when he comes up out of the bottomless pit here? He comes up as the beast. Doesn't he come up as the beast? Which means he's got to enter into a human form. The Bible said these are beasts, and some of them brute beasts made to be taken to burn. Anything that is not a son of God is a beast. If you're not a predestinated God, then you are a beast. What is the revelation? See, a beast is something that doesn't live forever. It just dies. Like any cow, any hog. But see, what is the revelation? The revelation is the inbred knowledge of God. It is the seed of Christ. It is the mind of God. What is it? It is given to you, the church, the members of His body. For the Bible said, in the revelation of Jesus Christ was given unto Him, Jesus Christ. And we're His members. And we're heir because of Him. Noah's family heir because of Him. So then, that means, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the inward understanding of God from the mind of Christ that is revealed to you that you are God Almighty. As members, ye are God's. It reveals to you as it did Jesus. It revealed to Him He was God and could not die. It reveals to you that ye are gods and cannot die. That's the purpose of it. It's to make you know that you are not a beast. Though you're born in the stable, Jesus was in the manger with the hay and with the cattle. But see, you are not a beast. It is to make you know that you are a God and cannot die. That is what saves you, is faith in His Word. His revealed knowledge, His understanding. And ye shall know, but the world shall not know. For Satan, even the god of this world, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see when good comes. Even the prince of this world. All right, let's go on and say just a few more things here. So then Judas went to his place. He had given himself to the devil. Was it then the place for the devil? I read it to you. Said he put him in the bottomless pit. The devil. The serpent. Was it then the place for the devil? Is it that they could have reverence to the place being the place of the devil? But you say, Brother Pike, we're not talking about the devil. We're talking about Judas. But Jesus said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is Judas. He didn't say that, did he? He said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is the devil. That's what it was. Then whose place was it? He went to his place. All right, so it said, and he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So then here is a power that is making communication. And though this thing happened at Calvary, yet is not made manifest in the literal body until the end of the church age. And here is a unionizing. Here is something that is happening. He was, he is not. He shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Who is he? He said this beast
that had seven heads. Have you got a few more minutes so we can clarify? This beast that had seven heads. So this beast was on the scene before. Let's look at him for a minute. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. What are these heads that was on that beast? It said it was seven mountains. But folks, it's got to be more than mountains. That won't do it. Seven mountains won't do it. God is only giving us the seven mountains to let us know in our day right here what he's speaking of. The location. Let's see if that's right. And there are seven kings. Now that sounds more like it. Not mountains, but kings. Leaders. People. Rulers. Men that have had empires. Seven kings. Now listen. Five are fallen. Fallen. We say fallen. Five of them fallen. When? 96 A.D. Just a few short years after Calvary, John on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord says at this time, just a few short years from the time that our Lord has been crucified, said, John, at this time, five of them are already gone. There's five of them that's already gone. Seven of these kings and five of them have already gone. Now we can talk about men like Nimrod, Attalus, the great men back there, can't we? Five of them are already gone. These were kings. Somebody said, well, you don't know that that was them. I didn't say that was them. I said there was five kings. Now let's look at it and let's be sensible again. Let's reason. It said they were kings. Now you go back and study the Bible or study history and find out about the kings. And then take you some kings and pick them out. You understand what I'm saying? These were great, mighty men. These were heads. All right? It said, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen. So we know we don't have but two left. Out of the seven. But look what he says. And one is. See, five's already gone, John. And he said, while you're here on the Isle of Patmos. One's in power right now. Could you find him? You know, like a little puzzle. Can you find the piece? Said, one's in power right now. So then six of them are gone, as we would say, in our day. Six of them are gone. Well, I don't leave but one. Somebody would say, now that's him, that's the Antichrist. When that fellow comes, we'll know. But it didn't say that. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So he couldn't be the Antichrist. So then it's obvious that neither one of those seven was Antichrist. So where do we get the Antichrist? It's real simple when we stop and think. The Antichrist was the beast on which the seven heads rested. See, it says, and the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth. So we get another one. That's where he comes in. And this is what Daniel spoke about the little horn. I'd love to get into it sometimes. This is him, see, the eighth. You follow me? And is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Now that is, he is of the same system, he is of the same thing. Let's look at it and find out what he's talking about. Still talking about the mystery. And the ten horns, this is the mystery of iniquity. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. Now here we go again. We've already had seven kings. Now we're talking about ten more. How have you listened at me? Ten and seven is how many? And one more. Okay, how do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Divide 3 into 18 and see what you come up with as to the last one. Try it. It's okay. What if I said 6, 12, 14, 16, 18? What would I have? I'd have 6, 6, 6. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, because the Bible said it is the number of a man. it comes out with these kings that he speaks of, that last one of them swallows up the entirety of all of those kingdoms and takes on the number 666. You understand what I'm saying? This is why that we went down to the eighth one to emphasize the eighth one, because it is not one of the 17. It is that 18th one, as we would term it. Alright, now, this is the number. Somebody said, well, what is that beast? He's the eighth one. And the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth. But the Bible said it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Still talking about the bottomless pit now. Alright. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. This 18th one, as we would say. You say, how can you say he's the 18th one, Brother Pike? Because he is the beast. It says he is the eighth of the seven. And he undoubtedly has control over the 10 because he's carrying them. He is the beast and they're growing on his head. Isn't that right? It is his power, the bare feet, the leopard body, the lion mouth that has control of all of this. So we say, let's read a little farther now. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, that is in John's day, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. All right, now, these 10 kings is like when Betty and I came through Brussels, over there in Belgium, coming through Brussels. Mike ought to remember this. There was those 10 common markets. You've heard people speak of that. The 10 common markets, going back to those countries, back in the old country that was one time under the regime of the Roman church. That is, there was a Roman church, a paganistic church, before it was wounded to death and changed to the papal or the pope church. Of course, there's a lot could be said about Constantine and those things. But anyway, what I'm saying, staying with the major theme of our thought so that we can understand what's being said. Here is 10 countries or kings, rulers, that's going to confederate with these 7 kings. And can you call it a confederation with the 7 kings? Because the 7 kings are gone. Even the last one, a little space, and he's gone. So really there's no confederation. What it is this power of oneness as the beast, swallowing up all of those kingdoms that has been. And the 10 horns is just coming in to confederate with him under his leadership, because they are only with him 1 hour. Okay, so we understand. They receive power with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, I don't want you to get off track when I say this. I've mentioned it before, time or two in tapes. But I want you to think now. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now let's get us a good spiritual understanding here. What made war with the Lamb? The 10 commandments. Said it was 10 kings. Now listen, we're speaking spiritually. Don't get lost. The 10 commandments made war. You mean to tell me, Brother Pine, that these 10 kings that loved that beast, that gave their power to that beast, you're going to liken them unto the 10 commandments? Well, let's see what it says. It said, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. What did the Lamb overcome? What did he fold up and lay away? What was it that worked the wrath of God?
Was it then the law that was unrighteous? Did the law love iniquity? Or did iniquity get strength by the law, and that which was ordained unto life came to be death, because through the weakness of our flesh, Paul said, we couldn't perform it. And the law being just and good, this law that God allowed to give its strength unto sin until His program be fulfilled. Isn't that right? It made war with the Lamb because the Lamb came in the image of iniquity. And it wanted to charge Him with sin, but they couldn't find any fault in the just man. So He overcome it. He folded it up and He laid it away. Isn't that right? What about these kings? He overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now look, folks, you know what I preach about. A lot of you look at me with a question sometimes when I say that. I say you powdered up lip stickers and all this kind of thing. You know, and you get all upset with me. And I said, the Bible said beast. Some of them brood beast. Somebody said, but the eighth, he's the beast. But it says here, and He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. I thought it said she was sitting on the beast. Come on, folks, stay with me now. Isn't that right? What did He say? Let's look at it again, so that we can understand. A lot of times you look at me like I'm way off in left field, as they say. So let's look at the Bible just again. Revelation 17:3. So He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Are you listening now? She sit upon the scarlet colored beast. But it said, the place where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That beast must have some members. See, that's your beast. That's why I tell you, if you don't have God on the inside, if you don't understand, if you don't have the revelation, you don't have eternal life, and you are a beast. And you're carrying that intellectual dogma and that intellectual understanding, falsely so-called knowledge, science, Satan, the tree of knowledge. You are carrying the old whorish doctrine, believing that God's going to help you and save you and you're going to be all right while you practice the way of the harlot and the fornication, of going after the world and doing the things of the world and looking for position and money and knowledge in the world. Where was she sitting? They were the ones that carried her. And I'm going to try to hurry along. Great is the mystery of iniquity. Great is the mystery of godliness. I am a steward of the mistress. All right, let's learn more about it. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast. Now these are the ones that, as we figured, so loved the beast that they gave the strength to them. And the 10 are to him. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. The law ain't never loved sin and iniquity. It's always hated it. The Bible said, hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. Said in these 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, that is these 10 kings, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. So then what is that woman? It's a city. Somebody says, Rome, sitting on seven hills. God wanted us to know what city it was. That great city that made the world rich, standing afar off, Revelation 18:10.
for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." They shall receive power with her 1 hour. You remember what I said about this new thing they come up with, the bomb? They said in 1 hour it does the job. And they're bombing all around over there close. And I told you something about the Ayatollah, said we'll go through Iraq and then to Jerusalem. Already Turkey has rose up and pushed right on, going right on through Iraq. And the Bible said, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And Daniel spoke of the desolation. Jesus said, that's the end of the world. And that was to come when the mysteries are finished. Great is the mystery. Revelation 10 and 7, time shall be no more. Time has got to be done away with. Somebody has got to do away with time. It said, now I ask this question, who is going to bum her? It said her desolation has come. Drop the stone, the angel dropped the stone into the waters and said, Babylon has fallen, has fallen, has fallen. Who's going to burn her? Who is it that's going to blow her up? The very ten that she trusted in. Those nations are sick of that church over there. You say, can you prove that, Brother Pike? Look at it right now. I told you not too long ago, it was time for it to start rising up. Look at the tracks that we put out through Christ is the Answer. Going down to Nicaragua. Going down into the different places down there, Guatemala. And when we went down there, 50,000 pieces of literature went out. And the papers just carried it. Said tracks, tracks, tracks. Speaking of the tracks and what it's doing down there. And the 25% or something like that has risen up against the Catholic Church and come out of the Catholic Church and are going Protestant. Said for many years, the Catholics has dominated. See, and domineered. What is it? It said, and they'll burn her flesh with fire. What is her flesh? The people. Folks, I'm telling you, when them four winds are turned loose, when the four powers are turned loose, of all of these things, of atomic powers and warheads and whatever, it's going to blow her to bits. They're going to tear her up. They're tired of her dominion. What will they do? They will destroy the great Hoa. What will happen to the beast? Will they then destroy the beast upon which she was sitting? Yes and no. That is, yes to this extent. The Bible said, and this beast had power over all the nations and kindreds and tongues. The church, Revelation 7, had already been taken out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. Now the beast has power over it. But this, as to the bumming, would have to destroy the entire world to destroy the beast, because this is what carried her. Look in America, if you don't believe America's carrying her. Look at the other countries. Go into Jerusalem. See if they're not carrying her, if you don't believe me. Peddling her beads, holy water, and everything else, and in Jerusalem, even the sacred place. Go there and see. All right. So then, she's going to be bummed. But does the beast as the head, do they burn him? Do they destroy him? The battle of Armageddon, thrusting in the sickle, you've heard me say it. Drawn out the kings through the unclean spirits, drawn into the valley running with blood. Are you listening? Jesus, Revelation 19, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, if you ain't got no righteousness, you ain't got no garment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus, his righteousness. I counsel of you to buy of me, he said, that raiment that's been tried in the fire, the one that passed through hell. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now listen, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. It says here, a sharp sword went out and devoured the enemy, coming out of his mouth. On his vesture, Lord of lords, King of kings, the armies of heaven followed him. He said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Listen now. He is destroying the captains, the great men, the armies. It said, and the beast was taken with him, that is the beast. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth, kings of the earth. See, they had not been blown to pieces. He had not been blown to pieces. It was Babylon the Great, right over yonder around Rome, sitting on seven hills. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. What happened to the beast, the false prophet? They went into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Notice, the beast was cast into the lake of fire. Isn't it right? And the false prophet. But all of a sudden, the dragon isn't there anymore. What happened? The Bible said, and the dragon gave him his power. Now when the beast come up, he had the seven heads and 10 horns of the dragon. But what happened? See, they were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Notice this now. This angel laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Why? Listen now, folks. He doesn't have his seven heads anymore. Am I saying right? He doesn't have his 10 horns anymore. Isn't that right? Take a bull, clip his horns off. He's helpless. He just snorts, that's all. He doesn't have them anymore. They're taken away from him. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't have a kingship anymore. He's bound. Where does he go? To his place. The bottomless pit. Does he stay there for 1,000 years and everything is at peace? Then what happens to him? Notice. He stays for 1,000 years and the devil, then he is loosed for a little season. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That is the brightness of his coming. That's when God comes in the brightness of his coming. It's the Ancient of Days. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we see in all that what it was that he spared Satan, Lucifer, for another 1,000 years. To bring the thing to the close, in my, how I'd love to comment on that about 2 weeks. But in that, at the end of the 1,000 years, when he had finished what he was doing, then he went into the lake of fire. Death and hail went into the lake of fire. Death is
Hell is not eternal. How do you know that? Death is not eternal. Death went into the lake of fire. Hell went into the lake of fire. See, the graves were still there until the end of the millennium. And then they had to yield up their dead. The sea was still there. And then it had to yield up the dead that was in them. So then we say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? What then is the answer to the brother's question? What is the bottomless pit? This is what the bottomless pit is. It is the great gulf. When Jesus spoke, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus spoke of the rich man and spoke of the Lazarus. I said, my, you went a long ways around to tell us. Speaking of the iniquity, the mystery of iniquity. The bottomless pit, the Bible said, and Lazarus died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, paradise. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus told a man at Calvary, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. They rested in their lot. I'm not going to comment on that tonight. And the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's why it says hell give up its dead. It'll give up the rich man for the lake of fire. So the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. And the Bible said he looked across a great gulf. And he said to Abraham, rather, let Lazarus come down here, dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in these flames. And he said, they that are up here cannot pass from here down there. And they that are down there cannot pass from there up here. And he said, well, let Lazarus go back. Let him resurrect from the dead. See, he knew that he was alive. Why did the rich man say that? Because he knew that Lazarus had life. He knew that Lazarus could come out of the grave. And we could go into something about the soul and whatever there, but we won't tonight. So then he knew that Lazarus had life, that Lazarus wasn't dead. Or why did he say, let him go back? It is true that he had passed through the regions of the dead, but death couldn't hold him. He went somewhere else. Death gives up its dead, because some it does hold. So then he said, let Lazarus go back. He said, nay. They have the prophets. They have the preachers, that is. If they won't hear them, they would not hear one, even though he rose from the dead. Let him go back and warn my brothers that they don't come to this place. Somebody said, hell ain't half full. One thing about it, you'll keep me company. I'll have plenty of company. He didn't want no company. Said, let him go back and warn my brethren lest they come to this place. So, brethren, listen to me as I close. See? Lazarus could have gone back. The resurrection was there. But the rich man could not. And they were separated by the great gulf. Now what was the great gulf? The bottomless pit. You know, we got the ocean they call the gulf. The gulf of Mexico. The gulf. What is the bottomless pit? Let me say this in hurrying along. If you left this earth, and you got out yonder in what you call space. They've never found a top. They've never found a bottom. See, there is a great gulf as a top between earth and the moon. And Shepherd crossed over. And Armstrong went through the door. There is a great gulf. But them that don't get through the door and don't get over to the other side, if they happen to go down, where is the bottom? Somebody said, I don't understand, Brother Pike. You know, you've got to tell me natural things. I'm telling you natural things. That's supposed to be a natural thing out there. Where's the top of it? Where's the bottom of it? That's your science. Where's the top? Where's the bottom? Where's the sides? You know it ain't got none. That's eternity. See, and they term those things as hundreds and millions and billions of miles. You understand what I'm saying? All right, if we're 93 million miles on this side of the sun, whatever it is, and then had to get 93 million on the other side to keep from burning up, how far would that be if you put it together? See, you understand what I'm saying, folks? I'm saying the end of the world is here. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, when they flew around up there, they say, I see it. What did they see? He said, I see the ends of the world down there. All right, it's just some typical things to let you know how close the thing is. All right, a lot of things we could say, but I just want to say that. What is the bottomless pit? It's the great gulf. The great gulf. They can't find the bottom to it. Just a few natural things to let you think. They can't find the bottom. They talk about the black hole out there. They can't find the bottom. That place receives the blast of the furnace of hell. And them angels that are fallen wasn't put into hell, even though hell was created in the time of God's anger for the devil and his angels. Yet they are in that great gulf, and they're in the dry places, the blast of that furnace. I was in a vision one night, and I went out over hell. He took me over hell. I knew it was hell. He took me into a place that lit up like thousands of neon lights. And my, it was so beautiful as it lit up and lit up and lit up. And that's what you're doing. You're lighting up. And then he took me out over hell, and I looked, and there was hell. And I was zooming through the air over hell, and I knew it was hell. I thought, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But my little family was back over there where the lights were. They were back over there where the lights were. My wife was back there. My children were back there, but I was going out over hell. You understand what I'm saying? And it looked like I was, as I was over hell, I thought, oh, my God, going into hell, but I didn't do that. And the vision went away. God, let me see both sides of it. So, I'm just saying that whatever, you need to live right, folks. There's a hell. There is a hell. There's a beautiful lighted city. And there's a great gulf. A great gulf. And when Judas proved out that he was a devil, they wander through the dry places. And they are bound in chains. And he had the great chain. And they are bound in chains of everlasting darkness. Turn my people from those intellectual chains of science and knowledge, falsely so called, ever learning and can't never find the bottom of the foundation, whereas the things of God have an end. Turn them from darkness to light, Paul. Let's stand together. There's a lot of things that we could say. Judas went to his place. I chose a devil. Obtained part of the ministry. Demon spirits, where are they? In everlasting chains of darkness. Why did Judas go to his place? As chains of darkness. He was a devil. They're a beast. There are devils. There are gods, eternal gods that you can't hurt. You can't wish them away. You can't lay anything to their charge. You can't find any fault with them. Every time you try to find a fault with them, that's a devil. You're giving place to a devil. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He has justified. He has sanctified. Filled with His Spirit. He has cleansed and purified. Sanctified once and for all. Glorified them. They're saved forever. The evil one toucheth them not. Let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody said, I'm glad to learn these things, Brother Pike. I'm going to tell it to the world. The first thing you need to do is get out of the world. That's the first thing you need to do. Get out of the world. Somebody said, well, how am I going to tell it to the world? When this is told, the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but him that speaketh from within you. And let them not refuse him that speaketh from heaven. Let's sing a little chorus. He that is born to the Spirit is spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I've chosen you out of the world. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete.
While I sit at your feet, O sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Don't you feel Him bearing witness with your spirit that you're sons of God? Don't gossip. Don't backbite. Don't have temper. Don't get upset. Don't strike at your fellow man. Jesus said, beware. When you think wrong, when you do wrong, you do it unto me. You do it unto me. You do it to the least of them, you'll be like Judas. The carnal mind will cause you to do it unto the body of the Lord Jesus, and you'll have to answer. For the Bible teaches He's the apple of God's eye. Don't be bitter at your enemies. Somebody says, bless God, bless God, bless God. Don't be like that. Don't be childish. The Bible said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them that persecute you. For your heavenly Father maketh the rain to come on the just and the unjust. And the Bible said, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. It said, unless you forgive men their trespasses, from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. Better get straight, folks. Better line up, folks. Better love one another. Better get everything in line. I'm telling you. Too much gossiping, too much temper, too much backbiting, too much show out, too much of trying to prove something, too much gullible desire for the world, too much of going after the world, being carnal minded is death. Satan loves the things of this world. He savors the things that be of this world. He has that old gullible desire. He has that old lustful mind. I'm telling you, do what you will, but the preacher told you. They shall all be taught of God, not Him speaking, but God. The altars are open while we sing another little chorus. Appreciate your consideration, your patience. I love Him. Because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Can you sing it with me again? I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book. Sing it with me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book. Chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Don't you like that? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though these we see have come, yet there's still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. One more time. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing this with me before we leave tonight. You love the Lord? You believe what I told you is the truth? Okay. Let's sing this song. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing it with me one more time? I want you to stop and think tonight of what we're seeing. And time shall be no more. No more, no more. And time shall be no more. tell me, what is time? What is time? Where did it come from? How did it come into existence? Where did death come from? The Bible said it didn't come from God. Where did time come from? How did it get its start? Time? If there's no time, then there's no death. I said that to you. He said, how can you prove that? Because the Bible said there is a time to die. If there's no time, how can there be death? For death must have time. Isn't that right? So if in Revelation 10 and 7, the angel said there, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And if time is to be no more, then we speak about death. We speak about these other things. They come by man. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Somebody says, well, when that angel comes, there won't be any more time. But how are you going to know that? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know just because he stands up and says, time no more? How are you going to know that? Even if you're around, how are you going to know that? I wish we had time to preach to you. How are you going to know that? Someone said, well, bless God, I'll just know it. How? What are you going to see? Are you going to be looking at time? Have you ever seen time? Will you ever see time? I never will forget. I was about 18 years old, 17 years old, somewhere along there. I'd done some hitchhiking. I've been up day after day after day going to California. Slow travel, little old bitty roads. Hard to catch a ride, not too many folks. I wound up one night sitting in a bus station. My buddy was with me. He'd sleep and I'd try to stay awake because I knew the police would get us. Boy, he took full advantage because he knew I was going to stay awake. And I was done gone. And he finally woke up fresh. Yeah, I was over there doing something. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm counting time. Can I come to my session? I thought, counting time? Whew, what's wrong with me? Have you ever seen time? Have you ever counted time? Are you listening to me, folks? See, how would you know if time left? Where's time anyway? Where are you going to find it? Where's its lodging place? Like God said to Job, have you ever entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you? So where is time? What is time? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, there's one thing about it. And that angel stepped out there and he says, thus and thus, I will know. Well, I got a feeling you ain't going to be there. That is given in the middle of the week. And I find the church up there in heaven over at the first of the week. So then what is this thing all about? About the mystery being finished. It's just like I said, at Calvary, Satan was cast out. It was made effective when it was understood and believed. Same way about time. Same way about all the mysteries. Same way about all the things of God. Then where is he? What is he? Or that is, where is time and what is it? Folks, let me tell you, something is taking place that you don't understand. And I tell you, in the name of the Lord, the world will never see it. The world will never know it. You need to stop and think. Like Walt said, Walt the mechanic, sinner, flying around in the plane, he said, I don't believe that man can lead himself. He said, I just don't believe that man can lead himself. He said, he's got to have somebody, something, somewhere to lead him. Or something, he said.
Let's lift our hands up together. Let's do some thinking now. Is it possible that since you did not know anything about time being here as to see it, could it be possible that you wouldn't know when it left? Could it be possible that you wouldn't see it when it left? And you wouldn't know whether it was here or wasn't there? Could that be possible? Someone will say, well, how in the name of reasoning, Brother Pike, are you going to know about what you're talking about? The Bible said, and the just shall believe what they heard. Didn't it say the just shall live by faith? He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said that John's father went into that place to fulfill his time as priest, and an angel appeared. And the angel said, John, or John's father said to him, Zechariah, said to him, such and such and such. And he said, well, how? The angel didn't say it in these words, but this is what he said in general. He said, that's unbelief. It's unbelief. He said, because you didn't believe what I said, you'll be dumb for a season. And then when I said, what I said comes to pass, then you can talk again. Could it be that God gives us something from heaven that the world doesn't see, and that Satan has blinded the eyes of the world and they shall not see when good comes? And that it could be the Heavenly Father speaking from within us, that people could be taught of God, and that there's something that He said that you don't see but you believe. Have you got salvation? Have you ever seen salvation? Do you know where it comes from? Do you understand salvation? What does salvation look like? Someone would say, well, I've never seen it. Well, how are you going to know that you got it? How do you know that you got it? Could it be that it comes by faith and the hearing of the word? And that's the way you've got it? And that you know that you passed from death unto life because of the faith and the mind of Christ within you? Folks, there's a whole lot to learn. And Hebrews 11 says, and Enoch was translated by faith, talking about New Testament, that he should not see death. There was a word. There was a faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Remember, there's something going on. A voice said, let there be, and there was. And the voice said, thou shalt surely die, and they did. And then the voice said, thou hast passed from death unto life. And so it was. And then a voice said, and a voice said, and a voice said, and the voice is saying, it would do well, we would do well, if we would consider the things that's being said and done. While we stand together, while we lift our hands up, let's everybody stand. Let's lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes. While you're standing here tonight, hands lifted up, eyes are closed, I want you to ask yourself the question, who am I? The songwriter said that a king should bleed and die for. Who am I? Where did I come from? What is this? What is this, Brother Pye? Am I dreaming? What is this? Is this world a dream? Am I in some kind of dream or a nightmare? What is this? When that world lit up with all of its lights, you can't remember, or you can't realize that is. Just how dark it is around you, folks. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come up here, Brother Gary Armstrong, to come up here. Another question that came, and maybe we can ask and answer these later. Will you explain the difference between the everlasting gospel and the gospel of the kingdom, there's definitely a difference. Perhaps one night we can talk about it. All right. While our brother Gary comes to pray for you in body and in spirit, I want you to lift your hands up, close your eyes, reverence God, reverence the sanctuary, believe in Christ so that it'll be well with you and with your family all the days of your life.